Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and tonight on Hercules and the Space Gods, I'm proud to bring you Disclosure Network with Nick Curto. Greetings, Nick. How are you today?
Great, great. It was a beautiful day here in Manhattan, although it was very sticky and muggy. Just about everybody on the streets were wearing sandals and shorts. It looked like Coney Island, only
wow.
It was Manhattan. Yeah, it was that. But it's still a nice day, sunny, and thank God, no rain, which we were hoping would stay away, and it did. So we were happy about that.
Well, I'm glad you had a great day, and I'm looking forward to your great show tonight. If you need me, I'll be here.
Well, thank you so much. And I have to say to our listeners, we've got quite a show tonight, and we've got some really interesting events coming up, which we're going to talk about. And so let me do the intro. Again, this program is Disclosure Network with Nick Curto, and I'm Nick Curto, co-founder and director of Disclosure Network New York. And we are now celebrating our 23rd year of providing 2 meetings per month throughout the year in Manhattan. We focus on cutting-edge UFO ET issues, paranormal phenomenon, as well as many other important and very related subjects from a wide variety of areas and sources as we go very, very deep into these exciting and sometimes misunderstood subjects that the mainstream press will seldom ever discuss or talk about. Our members do intensive investigative research into these various cutting-edge topics, and we share that information with our group at our meetings, and I'll tell you about those meetings in a second, as well as our internet followers on YouTube. We now have a Zoom meeting on the third Wednesday of each month, and we also have an in-person meeting face-to-face on the first Sunday of each month in the West Village at the LGBTQ Center on West 13th Street. We also schedule picnics on certain weekends in Central Park all summer long. If you would like the details and to become a DNNY member and join our group, we would love you to do that. I'm going to give you my email address, and if you give me a note that you're interested, I'll send you all the information that you would need. So here we go. I'm going to give you my email address right now, nicknyny1, and that's the numeral 1, at gmail.com. Again, nicknyny1, at gmail.com. Our motto right from the first day we started is, quote, connecting the dots to seek truth, unquote. We have available for our DNNY members. Also, we have a news service. It's called the DNN News Blast, and that's an email service every single day talking about the various important topics of interest and in the news. We also have our website, which is dnny.info. Again, that's dnny.info. So think about becoming a member of our organization. If you are a ufologist and you want to be up to date on what's going on, and there's a lot going on, as we all know, this would be a group for you. Okay, without further ado, I'm going to introduce my guest for this evening. He's a very, very dear friend, and a ufologist among many other titles. A very warm welcome to you, Joe Foster.
Oh, thank you, Nick. Thank you for having me. Looking forward to our talk tonight.
Absolutely, and we've got quite a talk tonight. It's even more than you and I had originally bargained for, because we've had some news here about an event, a wonderful event that was being planned in Highbridge, New Jersey, and it was going to celebrate the visitation in Highbridge in 1957. Of Valiant Thor, and Howard Menger and his wife Connie were the hosts for an outdoor event, a UFO convention gathering in their backyard that afternoon. And Commander Val Thor had come to Highbridge that day from his stay at the Pentagon in Washington, D.C., where he was residing at an invitation of President Eisenhower, and was put up in the apartment there during his stay that ended up lasting, and I can't believe it's been, it was 3 years that he was there. He was there with four Venusians from his crew. The ship was called Victor One, and Commander Thor, Valiant Thor, brought his brother, Vice Commander Don, Communications Officer Jill, and Medical Officer Tiana, I hope I'm getting that right, and her and her husband. And they simply called him Doc. There have been many Venetian members of the crew and other places that have been, and they say, in our planet and in America for quite some time, looking at us and seeing how, what we were doing. So very briefly, that is the story. He came here at the request of what they call the Central Council, the High Bridge Council, the High Council, rather, and the leaders asked him to come to our planet, and the reason was because of the violent bombs that were going off, especially nuclear and atomic bombs, and that not only destroys part of our planet, but the waves go out and disturbs the other planets, which I don't think anyone knew that at the time, but that's what was going on. And they came here to ask us to stop it for our own sake, for our own survival, because they felt that we were kids playing with fire, as well as disturbing our neighbors on other planets. So that was the reason he came to here, the Earth, and what he wanted to do was exchange the promise that we would have from all our high officials that we would never again pertain to nuclear and atomic weapons research and all that. In exchange, they were going to give us amazing cutting-edge information, medical, new power sources, and ways of staying much older and healthier. All that was on the platter for us if we planned to say, yes, we will agree to what Val Thor was offering. And, of course, the sad news is that after 3 years, the decision came in that the answer was no, we wouldn't be able to do that. And we can talk a little bit about what their excuses were. And so Val Thor left without completing his mission, which is quite sad. We're going to talk about that. Now, if you will, Joe, take us to what High Bridge Jersey was going to be doing this July.
Okay, well, that was actually the anniversary date of the High Bridge meeting that you mentioned earlier. So what the town of High Bridge was looking to do, they were looking to commemorate Howard Menger and the events that took place, of which you mentioned. Nice job of recapping the situation too, Nick. And so basically what happened was the planning started a little bit on the late side. And unfortunately, to get all the pieces in place to have the meeting this July, part of the original plan, they weren't quite ready. So the plan now is that it's going to be postponed until next year. And that's actually a good thing because it's going to give them a chance to really flesh it out and do everything that needs to be done in order to ensure a successful event. Now, with that being said, the event that was scheduled for this July, in 2 weeks actually, they're going to continue with everything with the exception of the conference. The conference is going to take place on Saturday. I believe that's the 16th or 17th. Nick, do you have the actual date there?
I believe the 15th, which is Saturday.
Saturday, yeah.
Right.
Anyway, what they're going to be doing, the town of High Bridge is going to continue with the bulk of the other activities. It was going to be Friday night, all day Saturday, and then events on Sunday as well. The Friday night events are going to be businesses in town have already arranged to have the different type activities and coupons and things that people visiting the town can participate in. It was going to be a restaurant crawl. Now, also what was planned, there's going to be a free movie in the park, and I believe the movie is going to be the one by Steven Spielberg, not Close Encounters, the other one. It's going to be the one that's for kids. All of a sudden, I'm having a senior moment, and I can't remember the name right offhand.
I just cannot. At the moment,
is it E.T.?
I can't.
Is the movie E.T.?
Yes, E.T. Thank you, Hercules.
Yep.
Anyway, so that's what they're going to be doing on Friday night. The primary Saturday event, was going to be the conference, of which Nick was going to be speaking along with several other presenters and talking about the Val Thor aspect of the Howard Menger story. Sunday, the event that is still in scope, it will be with Bruce Tango. And Bruce Tango is associated with the Ghost Hunters. And they're going to be doing an event at the Solitude House, which is a very historic old structure that belongs to the Highbridge Historical Committee. And that house is actually haunted. It has the reputation of being well haunted. So anyway, Bruce Tango is going to be doing an investigation and a reveal that people can still purchase tickets for, I believe. So if they go out to Highbridge, they can follow up on that. There's other activities that are going to be taking place as well. I'm not exactly sure what they are, but they're still going to have a pretty full plate of activities and the conference itself. That will take place next year along with everything that they're going to have this year. So that's kind of where we're at. My apologies that, you know, the events that they couldn't put it all together the way it was originally planned. But unfortunately, events such as this take a lot of planning and a lot of action to make them ready for prime time, if you will. So that's kind of where we're at there, Nick.
Right. Well, thank you for updating us on that. And needless to say, they did a very, very exhaustive job of putting this together and scheduling these wonderful events, fun events, and interesting topics. Joe, off the top, could you tell us who were the speakers for the Saturday, the big event on Saturday, where they had 1 hour speeches for various people? I was honored to be asked to do that. And who else was asked to be there for this year?
Okay, there's Frank Chile, Bruce Pearson, also George Filer, and Ray Keller, and let's see, there was one other, a woman, but I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with her. I believe she is a business owner and a parapsychological person, and she was going to be speaking as well. I think I got everybody. Did I forget anybody? And of course, Nick.
Well, you can add, but I was so impressed with that list of speakers because they are top notch. They are ufologists. They have a deep passion for the subject. They are amazingly knowledgeable. And to be there for all those hour-long speeches with a break for lunch was going to be an amazing day and afternoon. I was so looking forward not only to being there, I was honored to be asked, but to hear the others talking on the various subjects related to Highbridge, related to Val Thor, and again, other related subjects too. And they were top-notch. They are top-notch people, and I hope that all of them will be available next summer for the event that will be held in Highbridge, and really looking forward to that. Needless to say, to be very honest, I was disappointed along with a lot of other people because I really was looking so forward to that particular weekend. I've been looking forward to it for months. And but like you said, Joe, it's a huge undertaking. It's a lot of planning, and they felt as though next year would be a little bit easier perhaps and more in-depth, and so they decided to wait to the other next year. So, but I am glad that you're doing those other events. Is there any way the listeners could find out all the events that are taking place in Hype Ridge that weekend of the 14th, 15th, and 16th? Is there a website or is there someone to call?
Tell the truth, what I would do, I would send an email to history, H-I-S-T-O-R-Y, at highbridge, one word, .org. Okay, and that would be the, that would go straight to Kelly Matos, who is the executive director of the Highbridge Historical Committee. She is the chief cook and bottle washer of putting the event together for the town, working with Natalie Ferry, who is one of the council people. So it is a town-sponsored event. And I would send an email to Kelly and asking her for whatever the particulars are going to be. I don't know if they're I assume that they would put out another flyer, but if not, an email may suffice.
Right, right. Well, thank you for that, because I'm sure some people would like to attend that weekend for what they are going to do. And it sounds like a lot of fun and a wonderful summer weekend to enjoy. So, again, I hope that they can find out more about it and participate in that. And, again, I have to say that when I first heard of this event, I was very impressed that the timing couldn't have been any better. Look at what's going on in our news right now. Look at what's happening with the threats of frequent threats of nuclear war coming from Putin, coming from NATO, coming from a lot of other sources, and saying that, well, if they were to be attacked with nuclear, they would respond. That is scary stuff. And I've never heard such deep murmurings about a nuclear threats than right now in all my life. It's never been worse than right now, and it's daily. If you go to the internet or even mainstream news, you're going to hear really disturbing reports of up with the threats, and they're talking nuclear, and if that doesn't scare anybody, boy, it certainly does me. Does, and it goes all the time. What is your feeling, Joe? I'd like to ask you about that.
Oh, think that it's getting okay. You can get me wound up on this one. Essentially, there's a couple of things. First of all, you know, starting in 1946, well, actually 48 or 49, that's when we entered the nuclear age and the Cold War, and it was a bipolar world. Soviet Union on one side and the United States and its allies on the other. And, of course, you know, the proliferation of the widespread above-ground testing, open-air testing of nuclear weapons kind of reached a zenith around 1957, 58. And, of course, you mentioned that Val Thor was quite concerned, or the organization that he was part of was quite concerned with the fact that so many of these nuclear weapons were being detonated. The one thing that people don't fully realize, and maybe it's just the human race is just starting to realize it now, but whenever you set off a nuclear device, especially a thermonuclear device such as a hydrogen bomb, certain things happen. Certain things happen beyond just the fact that there's an intense amount of heat, an intense amount of pressure, and you know, the explosive aspect of it. There's actually such a thing called space-time. And space-time is something that we're just starting to really get a better handle on. So I think that a lot of times when we were going through that study of testing devices and making them bigger and better and, you know, more dangerous, that we were disturbing the, you know, the space around us, if you will. And it may have had an effect with portals. Portals, we now know portals do exist. We don't know too much about them, but we know that they do exist. And if those portals are opening up through space-time into other dimensions or something, yes, there's no doubt that, you know, this is affecting others than just us. So I think that's the reason, like, Val Thor story is so interesting and important, is that they're saying, hey, you've got to stop this because it's not just you. If you watch the movie, The Day the Earth Stood Still, that was the Val Thor story. Matter of fact, there was more truth to that movie than many people fully realize. So, you know, this is all part and part, it's all part and parcel. There's another aspect. Matter of fact, I did a talk on this. We had the International Geophysical Year back in 1957-58. That International Geophysical Year, there were over 12,000 scientists in multiple countries that were participating in scientific exploration and experimentation. And they were trying to figure out the natural world around us. They were trying to find out more about the space, you know, the immediate space that we, you know, the Van Allen belt and whatnot. But there was also 140 nuclear above ground tests that were taking place. And wow. If one were to extrapolate, would say, are we trying to learn more about the visitors? Is this our way of enticing the visitors to manifest themselves? And if that's the case, we had all around the world, we had scientists, we had militaries, everybody that could measure the phenomena was out there. So, you know, it looks like there's a lot of crossover between what seemed to be nothing more than just scientific curiosity on our part, meaning the human race, and something maybe much more profound and much more important. And that might be discovering more about our place in the universe and our neighbors that we do or do not know about. There's one other thing that I'd like to just kind of throw out there. John Warner is an interesting person for those who don't know him. His father was the ranking senator, and also he was the Secretary of the Navy at one point, and he was privy to a lot of inside information. And John, his son, had many opportunities to travel with his father, see things. He even witnessed UFOs on one of the aircraft carriers. They went out on a VIP cruise, and while they were on that cruise, they actually witnessed UFOs. And he also said that he had access to documentation that was highly classified, that proved the existence of other species, of which there may be over 1,000 of them. So all of this is coming together at an interesting point, and I think it's kind of driving the train in the direction that we may or we probably do want to go, because maybe this will be the thing that kind of dampens down a lot of the stupidity that we're witnessing around the world. So I just wanted to throw that out there, Nick. Sorry, I didn't mean to pontificate, but
that's kind of where I see us being.
Listen
to what I'm going to say now, because this is so amazing. What you said, I could not agree with you more. And is it John Warner Jr.? Is that his name that you were referencing?
Oh, I'm sorry. It said over to you.
You were referencing, is it John Warner Jr.? Is he a junior?
Yes.
Is that, okay, because I came across him a few months ago, and I was so impressed. He does a number of interviews, and holy cow, this guy knows what he's talking about. He knows how to form an idea and deliver a message, and I was very impressed with him.
You know, it's funny. He's also related to Chris Mellon. As a matter of fact, they're cousins, they're first cousins. And, of course, Chris Mellon and he, their great-grandfather, I think it's a great-grandfather, was the Secretary of the Treasury, of which my ship was named. Okay, I was on the Coast Guard cutter Mellon. I think that was the Andrew A. Mellon. It's been a long time. It's been over 50 years. But anyway, I did share some of the information with John about the ship and some of the things that, you know, we had shared. And he actually promised me a book, but I haven't received it yet. But he was a good guy. He was a good guy to talk to, too. He was very interested in, you know, some of the activities that were related there.
Right, absolutely. And again, I have to be honest, when I saw his interviews, and I'm thinking, this man should be in a leadership position of America. I mean, he absolutely has the stuff to really lead us well. And I don't know if he's ever thought about being in politics, but he'd have my vote. I mean, I was amazed at how good he was, how truthful, how transparent he was, and he knew his stuff. He knows his stuff real well. So,
well, he made a statement. He was on with Jeff Rentz, I guess, a couple of days ago. And during that time, I think Jeff asked him about, you know, having that type of background with a, you know, powerful father. I mean, he had the Queen of England stay at their house down in Virginia. Yeah, that's pretty amazing. So. But anyway, the question was, now he's a pretty smart guy, but he asked him about whether, I'm sorry?
Scary stuff. The Queen is coming to live here for a day or two. Clean things now. Can you imagine? Oh, my God, that's crazy.
Yeah, it is pretty amazing. But he didn't have, you know, he wasn't too complimentary to the royals. Even though there's probably some crossover, he's probably related somehow.
Right. Well, anyhow,
that's the nature of the upper echelon.
We have to watch.
But anyway, he is a fascinating guy. He said that he considered going into the service. Then he said he, you know, obviously was the thought of being an officer. He said, but he wasn't smart enough. His math wasn't strong enough. Become a naval officer, so he didn't join.
Wow.
I have a funny feeling that goes for politics too. I think he's somewhat averse to politics.
Well, he needs to be watched because I think he's a comer, and I think that he's got the kind of caliber that we have long been looking for, and he's it. Anyhow, he's got my vote already. I would work for him if he decided to run a major office because I really like what I heard. Well, I did.
He's an interesting guy.
It certainly
is.
And
it's funny because he's obviously not exactly close with his cousin Chris.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And again, you know, who knows? His mother was a Mellon. He's got other linkages in there as well. You know, he's got a pedigree, I'll put it that way.
Right. Well, again, your point you just made about the fact that this timing of Highbridge, New Jersey, recognizing the visitation of Val Thor in that community, and Val was reaching out to the regular people, to the ufologists who gathered there, and he had already done a lot of interviews and speaking to major forces, not only in America, but in the world, and Val Thor was diligent in bringing his message to them, that was saying, this is a critical, critical time, and you got to really look out for these weapons because they're going to destroy you. And I take him at his word. I think that they is exactly correct. And so my one-hour talk, and here it comes, was going to be exactly on that dynamic. I was going to spend the first half hour of my talk exactly on what you just said, the timing, what's going on right now in the news, and what Val Thor was projecting, and how valid that is, never more so than right now. So with that, again, I had, and I think I mentioned this to you, but for the halfway through my talk, which was going to start at 10:30 on Saturday morning on July 15th, I was going to go with what we were just talking about, but then I was going to ask everybody in the room, plus people that I had spoken to and organizations that I had spoken to weeks before, and ask them if they would join me at 11:11, exactly at 11:11 a.m. Eastern Time, when I'm on the platform speaking, for doing a 90-second meditation, prayer, contacting Val Thor and telling him how much we need him and what he is talking about, and asking him to contact one of us or me, even me, whoever. And would he do that? Because we need to speak with him. We understand what his goal, his mission. We totally agree with that, and we want contact with him. So that was going to be set aside during my talk for that 90-second silence that would everyone there plus everyone out there, and I was going to ask everybody on the planet that would join us to meditate and to pray to Val Thor and ask him to communicate with us right now. So with that, of course, that now is going to have to be postponed. But and here it comes. This is a wonderful piece of news. And I'm going to label this news when the wife hands you lemons, you make lemonade.
Lemonade.
So again,
I love that
thing. when wife hands you lemons, you make lemonade. And I'm going to bring in now a wonderful woman, a new friend of mine, and someone people do know. Her name is Karen Wallow. She's an award-winning fine arts visual artist. She's a vocal artist, a composer, a writer, and an animal advocate. She wears many hats all really, really well. She's a true professional. And she was looking forward to that weekend, and she was going to display at High Bridge, New Jersey, some of her amazing oil paintings that she's been working on. And I was looking very much forward to that because I'm an art major, and I was looking forward to seeing her work. So she had an idea. Her brother, who lives in Hightstown, New Jersey, and he has a little piece of land out there. And the idea that that Karen had, that her brother said, absolutely, we can do this, is to take a weekend during either July or August and do a get-together with some of the speakers that were going to be in High Bridge, New Jersey, because a year was a long time to wait, and some of those people are available, and we thought, let's get together and there and have a Saturday or Sunday, I think preferably Saturday, but it might turn out to be Sunday, that's not determined as yet, and to do a day of getting together. It's going to be limited to about 100 people, the first 100 that will sign up for this particular event will be there. I certainly will be there. And during that event, I'm going to also do another contact meditation prayer to try to contact Val Thor. Also, just want to let you know that because on Saturday, July 15th, from 10:30 to 11:30, I was going to be speaking, and that's been postponed. I'm still going to go through with my prayer meditation at exactly 11:11 a.m. Eastern Time on that day, July 15th, Saturday. And at that time, I'm going to be on the Internet on a Zoom meeting. I'm going to publish that, and I'm going to ask everybody to join me, psychics, people who want to give this a whirl to try to contact Val Thor. And it's going to be open to everyone. The time is firm, and there'll be publications about that and announcements about that. So that's one time. It'll be the first time we're going to try this contact. And again, we're going to do that when we have that very special event that Karen is starting to plan for. I give her a huge amount of credit for thinking of doing something like that this summer. And it will certainly whet our appetites for what High Bridge New Jersey is going to be doing too in the next year, in the summer of next year. So that is really exciting stuff. And I know some amazing psychics, not only in my organization, but others too, Edgar Casey and people in that area that we're going to ask to join us in this effort to contact Val Thor. This is really exciting stuff. And if an individual who's doing this ends up with success and has contacted Val, obviously I want to know about it, and I'll put that out there. Or if he contacts me, I certainly would welcome that, and I'll put that out there too of what was said and what is planned. So this is an experiment. I think it's important, and it's coming at a time when we need this kind of communication, because we can't go on the same road. I think we can all agree we can't go on the same road we're going now, because it's gotten a lot more dangerous, especially in the last few years. And it's not going to get better on its own. So we need unity. Perhaps an effort on maybe a movement to stop the craziness of this atomic and nuclear war threats that are going on right now. This is unacceptable. Joe, I would love your thoughts on what I was just saying about Karen's and her brother's amazing event that's going to take place this summer.
Oh, it sounds like a lot of fun. Sounds like something that would be most interesting, very interesting to go to and, you know, participate in. Where is it going to be held?
It's going to be let me get the exact place now. She did tell me that. Here we go. It's in Hightstown, New Jersey, and I believe that's near Princeton.
Yeah, it's down there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's going to be on a farm or?
Well, he has a house there, and he has some property where this can be held. And, you know, I'm going to ask everybody to bring food, to contribute food and beverages to this, and to bring their chairs, if you have, or camping chairs or blankets. And it's going to be an entire day of exactly this, of having ufologists speak, of getting together. It just sounds like a wonderful idea, I am so thrilled that Karen and her brother has said yes to this, and they're putting this together as we speak. Very, very exciting.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it does sound a nice, an impromptu get-together.
Exactly. And so I had already given out my email. I'm going to give it out one more time. And if people contact me, I'll give them when we figure out the exact date. It's going to be either July or August, and probably Saturday, although it's a possibility of a Sunday event, but we're not sure of that yet. But when we get all the details, if you give me your address, your email, and your name and your phone number, we'll be sure that you get that information when it's announced. So I'm going to give you, our listeners out there, my email just one more time, and do contact me and tell me that you'd be interested in Karen, K-A-R-E-N, and her last name is Wallow, W-A-L-L-O, event. And then when it's announced, I'll make sure that you get the invitation. Again, it'll be for the first 100 people they can handle. And it sounds like such a good time. I really can't wait for this event to take place. It's a great idea. Sometimes spur-of-the-moment stuff is the best.
Absolutely.
Let me give you my email again. Here we go. So if you get a pen and a piece of paper, and I'll do it slowly. Here we go. N-I-C-K-N-Y-N-Y. 1, and that's numeral 1, @gmail.com. nicknyy1@gmail.com. Again, nicknyy1@gmail.com. Let me know you're interested, and as soon as the invitation goes out, I'll make sure that you get a copy. So that's very exciting stuff. Holy cow. Really, very much looking forward to that. And,
yes.
Joe, another thing, too, I wanted to just run this past you because I think that when Highbridge does this event next year, it's going to be very successful, and it's going to get a lot of a press buzz. I'm sure that's going to happen. And I'm thinking, I projected this a little bit, and I wanted to run this past you and our listeners, Betty and Barney Hill, and the story of how they were abducted from their car, and that amazing story. It's certainly an iconic story of two just regular people in a abduction situation that they went through, dealt with, and then later on through a hypnotist, psychiatrist, separately related what they remembered about their abduction. It's quite a story. And so they were up in New Hampshire when it happened, and they were going to their home on the ocean down in New Hampshire also, further down. I can't remember the name of the city, but it's anyhow, they were en route to that. Of course, they were delayed many, many hours, but finally were able to get in their car and drive all the way home and then try to fathom what had happened in their lives as an abduction. It's highly written about. It's a very iconic story of two couples, of a couple and what happened. And so my thinking is, when Highbridge, New Jersey's event next year is successful, and I'm sure it's going to be, I'm thinking that where they were going, the city or town they were going to go home after their abduction, should also have a weekend to honor Betty and Barney Hill. They should also have speaking speakers, just like Highbridge, New Jersey, and they should talk about and examine what Betty and Barney Hill reported. And their reports, I'm sure you're aware of them, were absolutely incredible about what they reported back of what had happened to them and what they found out. And so I think that would be another extraordinary event on the East Coast to gather ufologists and just regular people that are interested in this fascinating subject. So that's an idea I've been just thinking about a great deal. What do you think, Joe? Do you think that's something that would go?
Well, yeah, actually, I believe Exeter, they had that event. I'm not sure if they do it on a yearly basis, but I think Exeter, New Hampshire, they did have a Barney Hill, a Barney and Betty Hill event commemorating what happened, because there were a whole bunch of firsts that came out of that. One thing, the amniocentesis, they did the amnio fluid. That they extracted from Betty, and they also, I think, removed sperm from Barney. So there was a lot of things, and this is way before the medical community started doing that type of testing, fertility testing. And so that is kind of a unique thing right there, which is probably helps validate that the event actually did take place. Also, of course, Betty Hill's niece is a writer, and she is a ufologist, and she still has the dress, Betty Hill's dress, complete with the DNA and everything that was part of the event. So, yeah, there's a lot of interesting things about that. Also, I believe they have the tapes of the regressions that were done on both of them, and also the psychological workup that just added more fuel to the fire, if you will, validating that the events did take place pretty much the way they were described. So it's a fascinating seminal point in the UFO lore, as well as activities that, you know, kind of set the pace going forward. Very interesting. Oh, there's one other thing that I wanted to mention: the nuclear threat that the world is under right now. Should be noted that for a number of years now, the United States has claimed to be able to do first strike. We did not do the launch on attack. The Russians, on the other hand, their nuclear doctrine is launch on attack. And it's kind of an interesting thing that, you know, we have not, the mutually assured destruction was something that kept everything pretty well, you know, all things considered, relatively safe for that 40-some years that we were at each other's throat, basically, with nuclear weapons. So right now, where we're at, it's at a different time. And the scary thing is that when one side decides that they'll launch whenever they feel like it, that's not what you would call a thing that's going to ensure peace.
And there's a lot of things that can happen. Also, I hate to say this, but there can be a false flag of some sort. There could be something that one side is saying that they're attacking when it's something else, but they're going to interpret it the wrong way. I mean, there's a lot of things here that can really totally damage or beyond repair our planet and the people in it. And this is, again, never a more important time than right now. And Val Thor's message, what has never been more important than right now, right this second. And we all need to understand what's going on, and we need to take action in whatever way you can. Also, about 3 years ago, and this was just before COVID, whatever that is, hit us, there was a theater group that called me up and said that they're going to present a story of Betty and Barney Hill live on stage. And that would me and my group like to attend? I said, of course we will. That would be incredible. They said that the characters, Betty and Barney Hill, and the psychiatrist, a hypnotist that they consulted separately and then together, and that their stories were exactly the same under hypnosis. And so they got a hold of all the tapes that were done during those sessions, and they based very strictly their script on what was really said. And I'm telling you, we saw that play, and we were on the edge of our chairs. It was really well done. A good acting, a very good script. And boy, did they make their points, all of them. And so that was, they were going to bring that to Off-Broadway. They were looking for more financing to do that. And then COVID hit, and that just destroyed a lot of plans, not only with their company, but with other companies, not only in New York City, but other places. So that was put on hold, and I'm just hoping that they will do that again, bring it back, because it was one incredible play, and they deserve a lot of recognition for that. That story is phenomenal. And one thing that was brought out, that Betty had seen, had asked about where they were located when they were taken off planet, and they showed them a map of a star system. And when Betty came back, she was able to recall the positions of those stars. And she took, I believe, a pencil and a piece of paper and did marks. She said, that's what I saw, and that's where they said they were from. And they did analysis, and they couldn't pinpoint where in the system, universe, it was. But a few years later, another planet was discovered, and it lined up perfectly with what Betty had remembered. And it made sense. That map made perfect sense when they found that other, I believe, planet. So isn't that an interesting little detail about what was going on? And you were mentioning Betty's dress, and there were some markings, I believe stains on that, that nobody could explain. And they tried to analyze that, and it was very difficult to pin it down. So that's interesting that the dress still exists, and that you said her niece. What's her niece's name again? I forgot.
I'm sorry, whose name?
Betty's niece. Do you remember her name?
Lynn Marsden. Marsden,
okay. Okay.
M-A-R-S-D-E-N.
Oh,
okay. Yeah, she's a very, very nice person. Yeah, very nice person. Wrote a couple of books. Makes the circuit. She's been at almost most of the UFO. I've seen her at a number of UFO events. So, very interesting person to talk to, too.
I can't imagine.
An interesting thing, just as an aside.
Right.
You know that with the James Webb, the space telescope.
Yes.
We're up to 1,500 exoplanets now, and they just
found
a star system that's I think it's only four or 40 light years away, and what they found is they found 6 exoplanets in this one star system, and two of the exoplanets fall within the Goldilocks zone. And to top it off, there's been a transmission from that general area that looks like it's a potential signal that might be of intelligent design. And that what they're doing, one other thing about this, they've also taken like 10 or 15 years of radio telescope capture, right? All these radio telescopes, like the one we have at that I operate, they capture all this data. They look at it and they say, nothing there. Now, though, they've taken all these petabytes of data and they've run it through a supercomputer, I think a quantum computer, and then all of a sudden it spits out 8 signals that they believe are intelligently designed.
Wow.
And they're running more tests on it. They're also going to be running more data through this computer algorithm. So things are really heating up in the astrophysics world. Getting very interesting.
Well, that's an understatement. That is an understatement, my friend. That is amazing stuff. I want to ask my producer, Hercules, if you'd be good enough, how much time do we have left now? I know it's coming close.
You have 7 minutes.
7 minutes left. Okay, Joe, within maybe a minute or two, do you have any final thoughts you'd like to leave with our listeners tonight about what we've been talking about?
Keep your powder dry. Anything can happen. We're at an interesting point in time. And indications are there's going to be some interesting things being made known to us, either scientific discoveries, maybe propulsion systems that will take us to the stars, any number of things. So keep the faith. Things are tough right now. Things are strange. Things are bad. But there's also a lot of good out there. So don't lose the faith.
Totally, absolutely agree with that, Joe. Thank you for that. Those sentiments, absolutely true. We've got to keep the faith. We've got to keep our sense of humor, and we've got to keep an open mind to what's going on, because there is so much that's being revealed right now on just about every level you can think of. And it's an exciting time. It absolutely is. I know that some people that go on the internet and go to YouTube and other places, and you can spend hours and hours just going through the news of the day. And a lot of that is incredibly important new material, new discoveries that's going on at such a rapid rate. So, again, it's a wonderful time to be alive and alert and to understand what's going on around you, and to also voice what you feel you should be speaking about with your friends and relatives as far as what you feel is important, and not be shy about your opinions, because they count. So, Joe, thank you so much. Heartfelt thanks to you for being on the program tonight. What an amazing ride this has been. It really has on so many levels. And, again, just to touch base, Karen Wallow, you are an amazing person. Thank you so much for thinking of doing a wonderful event coming up this coming July or August. We'll stay tuned for more information on that. And again, on Saturday, that would be July 15th at 11:11 a.m., and that's Eastern Time, I'd like everybody within listening to this program to spend at least 90 seconds or more on meditation and prayer, trying to contact Val Thor. And if you feel as though you have got something in the way of contact, please alert me to that. I'm going to be collecting that information. That would be amazingly important, and we do appreciate your help on that. So with that, this is Nick Curto for Disclosure Network New York, wishing you all an enlightened journey as you connect the dots to seek truth. Till next time, keep informed, stay safe, and be very, very kind to one another. Goodbye for now. Take good care, everybody. Good night.
And thank you, Nick and Joe. Thanks also to a wonderful audience. Whatever way you found yourself here, it's been a blessed way, and joyous journeys, amazing adventures, and happy Independence Day to all. Good night.
Good night. Much love to all.
Yeah.